Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome to our third episode of the Anti-Pattern Podcast. Meanwhile,
hello everyone.
From a sunny evening in Mannheim. And
oh, that changed just frequently. It was raining 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. And so your shirt is now up to date. You're proclaiming springtime.
We updated my shirt, yeah. He was joking about me because he said, am I already welcoming springtime? Isn't it a little bit cold outside? Mm-hmm. It's still February, right? Yeah, true.
Yeah, so again, here, us two, having kind of part two of the episode from last time. And
right.
Last time we had a first glimpse to our technological focus and speaking of performance and flexibility you're getting out of the ideas where we are building on. And Michael, what are we talking today
about? Yeah, basically we stopped with a little cliffhanger, so to say. We were already talking about the basic principles to set up our software platform, right? And you said performance and flexibility, true. What I wanted to add is flexibility is so important for us. And I want to make sure one thing, and that is there is in the market this misunderstanding that cloud native tools or cloud means static models, static data models.
Mm-hmm.
There is no direct connection between the two. This is something I want to make sure that everybody understands. There is no reason why you cannot just build a flexible, customizable, configurable tool in the cloud. There is no natural, you know, connection between the two things.
Yeah, maybe people are mixing up SaaS models with cloud.
Because SaaS is just a business model, right? It has nothing to do with the basic or underlying technology, right? So this is maybe a reason why where this is coming from. Agree. So this is the one thing that I want to make sure. We are building a flexible, configurable platform in the cloud on a cloud native stack, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is important to understand. This is just two, and you called it first order principles, right? So the things, the principles everybody can hold to make sure that everybody goes in the same direction in terms of our development. But there are other principles, and two additional principles that we would like to talk about today is openness and
mm-hmm.
smartness,
mm-hmm.
whatever that means. We come to that in a minute. And then, just in addition, there are not just those first order principles, but also something that goes without saying, some self-evident concepts that are in the cloud way easier than on-premise,
mm-hmm.
which are mainly upgradability and scalability, right? We talk about that also a little bit and show you guys why we think it's easier,
mm-hmm.
right? Those are the two things that we would then like to add to the first order principles, as you said.
Exactly. And starting with openness. So maybe you're aware of the Code of PLM Openness, also called CPO, by the Prostev IVA Association.
Right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, we did not sign yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Because we did not have the funding to be a member.
The budget, yeah.
Yeah,
the budget.
We wanted to save the money for now. But for sure, at a certain point in time, we will sign the CPO too. Because
right.
openness is a big thing for us. So from our point of view, it's the customer's data and not the vendor's data. Even
right.
if in a cloud environment, we might be the operator of the system,
right.
it's still the customer's data.
Right.
And locking him in his data and in our way or in our offering of functionality is hindering innovation.
Preventing something.
Preventing, definitely.
Yeah. Right.
And therefore, let's talk about that a little bit later when we're coming to a more technological focus again. but having a vendor locking the data up, it's definitely not what we want.
Definitely. And it is preventing innovation to some degree, right? I talk about this to my students a lot. Right. When I let them know once you're a user of a, product development tool, whatever that is, usually a CAD system,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you will never find a case where you don't have to worry about the tool. You always have to worry about the tool and exchanging your data, your models with your suppliers, for example, or the people that you're working with. So The tools are unfortunately not seamlessly connected, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately not. So you have to worry about it. And the other thing is the ethical perspective, of course, right? We don't want to do it, even if we could. Lock the customer in. Don't do it because we don't find it correct. I don't want to say nice, right? It's not nice, but it's also it's not correct to do it.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
It's just wrong. Right. I do agree. And the other thing is about openness, it's not just that we, you know, do that for the customer base and do that for the possibility or to create the possibility of, you know, open exchange of product data. That's the external reason. We also have an internal reason. And the internal reason is I don't want to have, once we are growing bigger, hopefully, right? I don't want to have a situation where there are lines of businesses, and I talked about this last time already, that are developing something, some functionality that is already existing somewhere else, right? Mm-hmm. And then kind of locking them in because they can close down their own internal APIs and they do whatever they want. This is something that is for me so crystal clear. We are not going to do this because this also kind of kills innovation, right?
Yeah.
Because then you end up in a situation, you know, as I said, you may be, you know, having all your data in one system, but the data models are not consistent to each other. And so you end up in the same, you know, awful situation where mm-hmm. things are not just flowing, right? And you have those silos, even if it's the same platform, you still have silos, right? So we don't want to do that. And I think forcing our development teams to stay open mm-hmm. by means of the platform is really important for us.
Yeah, and also operating the platform was, in all former times, very often had the problem that even if the system was open by itself,
right,
it was locked up by firewalls.
Yeah. Okay, true.
Within one company network.
Right,
And you did not have the chance to get any kind of webhook or whatever working with the system. And this is also very much achievable, more achievable in the cloud because it's just there. It's maybe a kind of cybersecurity problem then.
Right.
I think operating a cloud service by a professional cybersecurity team is not really more
dangerous.
Dangerous is a good word. It's not more dangerous than having an average IT department operating your systems in your network. Right. So I've seen, unfortunately, customers who lost the data by having a worm in the network. And
True. And the thing is, when it comes to cybersecurity, it's such a big and complex topic. Over the last years, it became such a complex topic that, you know, a small and mid-sized company usually does not have the resources
to send,
you know, their small IT teams to, you know, all those trainings that are needed to really protect your data. So this is also, you know, it may serve as a reason why there is this big trend into, you know, move your operating into the cloud.
Yeah.
Because it's just more secure there. It's more secure.
It's more secure and it's more accessible.
Right.
Openness is also a kind of accessibility. And if you have the access, then you can use all the ton of standards that are existing for REST calls or GraphQL, whatever you want to do, what you need.
Right.
From different systems to the system, from the user to the system. And next thing is, of course, scalability.
Right.
No matter if it's horizontal or vertical scalability, horizontal scalability is very easy to achieve by containerize the application. And we invent a cloud-native system. That means different layers of our system can be handled like a microservice.
Right.
And therefore, you can start more services if you need them. And not just giving more CPU, more RAM, more whatever, like in the vertical integration.
Yeah, this is what you would call vertical scaling in the old days, right? Where you say, you know, just add power to it.
Yeah.
And you can just buy it, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you know, kind of the understanding.
Matter of money.
Yeah, it's just a matter of money, right? That's not true. It's not true anymore because the problem that we are trying to solve is so big and so complex. Just vertical scaling will not do it. You have to scale also horizontally, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it, you will not end with a solution that basically solves all of the connected silos in the digital thread, right?
Yeah.
You only can do it partially.
Yeah.
This is at least our thesis, and we are going to prove it.
Yeah, and maybe you need this flexibility also time-wise to scale. This is much easier in the cloud than doing this on on-premise hardware.
Right. And then together with scalability, as I said, this is also something that goes without saying, is the topic of upgradability.
Yeah.
Right. And upgradability means you are allowed, because we are a flexible solution, right? You are allowed to configure the data model, configure functionality, right? Even going so far to say there is some customization in it, right? Where you actually code, custom code, right? The thing is, this has a really, really bad connotation in the last years, or came or got a very bad connotation, which is not so much it's not so true anymore in the cloud, or if you do it correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the topic of upgradability is something that we want to build in the platform, right? We have a concrete meta model, right, that helps us to manage upgrades, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do one thing that, as far as I know, no one else does, and that is we not just version data.
Mm-hmm.
Every PLM system does that, of course, right? We also version the underlying data models.
Exactly.
Right? And so we are always sure what version is a customer on from what he, you know, got from us in terms of standard, or what he developed himself.
Yeah.
So this is important. And then you can call it migration tool or whatever you want, right? One big issue usually is there is a lot of customization, and then you want to bring that back into standard, and you have those huge IT projects running, implementation projects that bring them back to standard for a lot of money. And this could be done cheaper if the platform itself is more meant to be mm-hmm. configured, right?
Yeah.
And this is why we say flexibility is potentially the most important thing.
Yeah. Upgradability.
Both of them. The flexibility leads to upgradability.
Yeah.
And you need upgradability because you are flexible.
Mm-hmm.
If you just would, you know, as many people have that misunderstanding, if people say static data model is equal to cloud, right? And you would just leave it as it is forever, there is no need for upgradability, right? But we don't want to do that.
Sure. Yeah, and because you mentioned flexibility, another point of flexibility is that we say we want to offer also polyglot programming, which does not mean that we are mixing and matching up all kind of programming languages within our core, but which means if our customer or if a partner or whoever has some software in another programming language, why not running this in as a service in another container within the infrastructure?
Right.
And I can imagine ton of use cases from existing old custom tools or a toolbox from a customer. He wants to run also in our environment, taking it over from the old PLM or whatever time. On the one hand, on the other hand, having some kind of an app store where partners can offer their software.
True.
And why not just starting a container in our environment for that?
Correct. Yeah. And then I guess last but not least, right? So you talked about polyglot persistence. One additional, and this is even for us first order principle, because this is something we really, really want to look into, is the smartness of the of our digital thread platform. And that is, of course, aka AI, right? Everybody talks about artificial intelligence, and my strong belief is, yeah, of course, but we also need some human intelligence first.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, we want to bring together the knowledge graph. It's the first step, right? We first build the knowledge graph in the graph database, right? And then we want to add AI agents, whatever that means. Could be LLMs, right? Could be machine learning algorithms on top of the knowledge graph.
Generative AI.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. So agents that run basically on the knowledge graph, but it's a bidirectional thing, right? We do have the knowledge graph, you know, we produce it, we build it. And then on the other hand, you have the AI agents consuming the knowledge, right? Make sense of the data underneath, right? And then the other way around is also true, which is the AI learns from unstructured data, you know, whatever it finds, whatever it will be, you know, given to, and then it stores that knowledge in the knowledge graph. So the knowledge graph is kind of the, you know, common source of information from humans and from AI. This is something we're looking into. We are definitely not AI experts, right? So we want to bring that in from the external world, but we are product data experts. Right? Yep. So we want to use AI to make sense in a product data setting.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, so summarizing this, what are our four first order principles? So on the one hand, openness, very important for us. Flexibility, performance, and smartness.
And smartness, yeah. You have to be open, flexible, fast, and smart, right?
Exactly.
That's it.
And upgradability and scalability comes without saying, like Michael already explained.
Right.
And with that, I would say, see you next time. Leave us a comment, leave us a thumbs up, give us a 5-star rating or whatever your platform offers. We are very keen to see what your opinion is on these topics. And then see you next time.
See you next time, everyone. Bye-bye.